Hello and welcome to Saffron Says. It's heard every week here on Global Community Radio, Channel 1, News and More, globalcommunityradio.blogspot.com, Geneva, New York, and Victor, New York, and the Big Red Button, press for the best, thebigredbutton.info, Victor, New York. So what I'm going to talk to you guys today about is a little bit of, I'm not going to say it's a potpourri of topics, it's kind of going to be the bloggy part and the media analysis part combined. Because what I want to talk about, they kind of go hand in hand. So, the 90s for me. Like, as far as media was concerned. You know, when I was younger, we had things like, you know, Barney and the Teletubbies. We didn't really watch the Teletubbies. It was more like just Barney. And then as I got older, you know, I was not the biggest fan of the Sesame Street thing. We had a wind up little Ernie thing that played the Sunny Days, theme song, but I always thought those Sesame Street character voices were a bit annoying. Sorry, Bert and Ernie. And Big Bert. Yeah, you were kind of annoying too, Big Bird. And Elmo, especially Elmo, was annoying. But I'll tell you, I watched Barney up until the ripe age of 10. If that tells you anything. Even when... Actually, no. Just, I still liked, like, the older episodes. I didn't like it... what really killed it for me was an Animaniacs episode called Baloney and Friends. So the Barney character was parodied by a dinosaur called Baloney the Dinosaur. If you want to talk about, you know, crazy anti-Barney humor, there's a lot of it out there. There's even a Wikipedia article that concerns anti-Barney humor. Some of it's pretty funny. And I can kind of see where it's coming from, because it's like... It's like, I saw the Barney show through kind of the glasses that I wanted to see, you know, because I looked at it, and what I saw was kind of, you know, it never occurred to me that a big purple dinosaur was, like, for babies and things like that. It never really occurred to me, because that's all I would watch was cartoons, and there were... And I thought, you know, okay, that's okay to watch as, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year old. It was really after that Baloney and Friends where I was like, what on earth? Thanks, Animaniacs, you ruined that one for me. And I was exposed to a lot of things. Some of the big ones, I remember around the time of Summer Recreation, it was always the same thing. Powerpuff Girls, Dexter's Laboratory, Ed, Edd n Eddy, Cow and Chicken, and Johnny Bravo was what we got on Cartoon Network, and Nickelodeon had these. Arnold, Ren and Stimpy, Doug, Rugrats, Rocko's Modern Life, and CatDog, and eventually SpongeBob. But the four main ones at the younger time in my youth were Arnold, Ren and Stimpy, Doug, and Rugrats. Rocko's Modern Life came a little bit later, and then CatDog, and then eventually SpongeBob. SpongeBob and Fairly Odd Parents took over everything. I think that, given the nature of, you know, where things are now, SpongeBob and Fairly Odd Parents, they're still on. Holy McGillicuddy. SpongeBob having premiered in 99... that thing is almost 20 years old. Fairly Odd Parents having premiered, I don't exactly know when Fairly Odd Parents premiered, but you know what? I'll ask Google. Hang on. Okay, Google. Well, yes, thank you. Did I really have to? Okay, Google. Okay, Google. Okay, Google. Okay, Google. Am I really having to do this again? Yes, thank you. So I'm just trying to figure this bit out here. Okay, Google. When did Fairly Odd Parents premiere?
The first episode of The Fairly Odd Parents was on March 30th, 2001.
Thank you. Oh, really? So that was 2001. Okay. That's fine. So SpongeBob 99, Fairly Odd Parents 2001. So that thing is about 18 years old, whereas SpongeBob is just about 20. Or no, Fairly Odd Parents would be 17. And then, there were things like Chalk Zone and things like that. And then you the horror cringy stuff that was Invader Zim, but that's getting out of the 90s here. But you had the original stuff. And then eventually Doug was sold off to Disney and things like that. My brother was able to kind of transition out of cartoons. I watched cartoons for the longest time, admittedly. That is until something like Full House came to Nick at Night. I'm like, okay, this is on Nickelodeon. This should be perfectly fine. And then something like Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And then what happened was, my brother was one day watching VH1, and they had this I Love New York stuff. Okay, we're getting out of the 90s. We're not trying to talk about my transition out of cartoons, I suppose. And I guess that's just kind of where this was going. But here was me as a 90s kid. We had The Puzzle Place, which was on PBS. Allegra's Window, Nickelodeon, and then all the other Nicktoons. Blue's Clues, Kipper had come a little bit later. And then some things that I really couldn't catch on to were the Teen Nick shows. You had Caitlin's Way, 100 Good Deeds for Eddie McDowd, or Eddie McDowd, the Four-Legged Comedy. I couldn't latch on to something like Animorphs for some reason, because it wasn't animated. Are You Afraid of the Dark? One of my favorite episodes was like the last one, which was the Tale of the Silver Sight. But I never watched really any other episodes of Are You Afraid of the Dark? I guess the only other non-cartoon shows that I liked to watch were game shows, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, etc., etc., etc. So, this talk of Nickelodeon and cartoons is honestly a great segue into things because the media analysis is going to be a Nickelodeon cartoon. It's going to be an episode of Hey Arnold, actually. I watched it last night because what they have now is an episode, or not an episode, but a programming block at night. So which is kind of the reverse of like Nick at Night, whereas Nick at Night does like adult shows at night and kid shows during the day. Actually, Nickelodeon has pretty much a standard format of adult shows at night, a few cartoons in the morning, children like babyer shows for if you're in preschool and if you're not going to actually regular school until about 3, and then that stuff until the nighttime, which again you have adult shows. The Teen Nick, which is one of the other Nickelodeon networks. You've got Nickelodeon, Teen Nick, Nicktoons Network, and Nick Jr. And they used to have Nick Gas or Nick Games and Sports. That's no longer a thing. And that used to actually run all the Nickelodeon game shows. That was a game show network for Nickelodeon. But not Nicktoons, Rena, you keep doing that, you're gonna find yourself in a stupid hole. So Teen Nick has, your iCarlys and your things like that. And before Teen Nick, you had SNICK, Saturday Nick, or Saturday Night Nick. But SNICK became Teen Nick, which was, generally speaking, what they ran on Sundays, believe it or not. I think that was after, I think that was after the Slam block, Nickelodeon Slam programming block, which was like Speed Racer and things like that in the 2000s. Well, anyway, Teen Nick became its own kind of network with things like iCarly, Sam and Cat, Victorious, etc., etc., etc. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and things like that. Well, after Fresh Prince, which was on from 10 to 11, 10, 10:30, 11, you have their programming block, The Splat. And this thing will go, Hey Arnold, Rugrats, Doug, Hey Arnold, Rugrats. And this is just per the hour. So the 11 o'clock, you'll get two Hey Arnolds. 11 and 11:30 are both Hey Arnolds. 12 is Doug, or 12 is Rugrats. 1 is Doug. 2 is Hey Arnold. 3 is Rugrats. I'm almost guessing 4 is Doug, and then probably by 5, you're back around to something like that. And so these are all the old nostalgic shows that you got from the 90s. And I will tell you straight up that after Hey Arnold was taken off the air in 2001, I want to say, 17 years later, you get The Jungle Movie, which kind of wraps everything up. It was a great way to close that off. It is what it is. So, now I enjoy The Splat every night. Nick Splat, The Splat, Nickelodeon Splat. Great. So, last night I watched an episode of Hey Arnold called Baby Oscar. This is a season 4 episode, so it's after Oscar gets a job. So I couldn't rightly wrap my head around why this was playing the way that it played. But then I remembered that the job Oscar gets in Oscar Gets a Job is that he's a paperboy. So naturally speaking, he's up early, he's home, and does nothing the rest of the day. And naturally speaking, I don't know how being a paperboy can even pay as much as anything, really. So I don't know how Oscar's able to sustain himself. I think at best you get minimum for being a paperboy. It is what it is, though. So, let me tell you about Oscar as a... Hey Arnold has a few different archetypal characters. You've got Arnold's grandpa, which... He's a good grandfather to Arnold, but can also get very aggravated, like your typical old man. You've got... And I'm just talking about residents of the Sunset Arms boarding house. You've got Ernie, who is your angry demolitionist construction worker. And it's almost like every character that has the capacity for getting angry in this show has a stinking unibrow. And they take full advantage of the unibrow. Ernie has one. Harold has one. Helga has one. Helga's father has one. Harold is a bully in the Arnold universe, and he's got a few centric episodes where he basically has to learn a lesson. That's usually what Harold-centric episodes are, is Harold learning a lesson. The problem with Oscar-centric episodes is I usually have to listen to Oscar. So Oscar is one of the boarders. He's married to a woman named Susie, who quite frankly and thankfully can't put up with a lot of his crap. Oscar is a lazy man with some sort of accent. I'm not sure what. But he is just this lazy man who, for the longest time, couldn't get a job, didn't know how to read, and basically whined and expected everyone to do everything for him. So he gets the job in season 3. We'll see how well that goes. Actually, no, we won't, because we're not going to talk about that, because I think 2 Oscar-centric episodes is quite enough. Thank you very much. 2 Oscar-centric episodes is enough. Let alone do you have one where he basically now is complaining. It's one of the interesting things with this episode, and it's called Baby Oscar. Quite honestly, I'm heavily under the impression that Baby Oscar, the reason that it's titled that, there's two reasons for it. Because Baby Oscar can refer to the literal baby that his wife Susie's cousin brings over to have Susie watch, and Baby Oscar can also refer to Oscar himself, Mr. Oscar Kokoschka. If that's any indicator of anything. So, basically what happens is Susie's cousin, Susie, Oscar's wife, her cousin brings over baby Oscar because Susie's wife has to go out of town for a few days. Oscar, all the while, is, like, your stereotypical, like, lazy bum in the rocking chair. And I mean lazy bum. Not like older man, but lazy bum. Asking for Susie to make him a sandwich, and this and that and the other. And this is not the only time that... This is not the only time... that Oscar has done or does something like this. He's done this before. And that's what makes him such an annoying character, is he doesn't seem to learn. He does not seem to learn, and it's frustrating. So Oscar is Susie is tasked with watching a baby whose name is Oscar. So basically two babies whose name is Oscar because also, you know, her husband. And I can't help but feel like I see older Oscar looking a lot like baby Oscar. I can't help but feeling I see that. And, I mean, that's frustrating as it is. And you've got baby Oscar basically crying for attention that, okay, he actually needs. Older Oscar wants attention, but what he doesn't realize is that, you know, he doesn't really... It's a baby. So, Oscar can't just be self-centered on this one. Problem is, he is. And... So then, eventually, Susie gets called into work. And eventually, Oscar and baby Oscar start bonding. Which is kind of cool. You get to see Oscar kind of learn... a little something akin to a lesson. And then we really get to see Oscar step up to the plate here when he basically, you know, he thinks the baby's sick, although it's kind of foolish that he can't recognize hiccups for what they are. It's kind of foolish there. Yeah, can't recognize hiccups for what they are, but the fact that he is taking some sort of concern for the baby is, I think, very wonderful. It's funny because he, you know, gets involved in, like, oh, why does the Pope have to be in town? And blah, 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 blah. And... I just think it's very interesting. Like, he's in a rush to get to the hospital, and then he discovers, oh, he learns just from the doctor, oh, the baby has hiccups. Okay. But most of the time, I have to say, Oscar-centric episodes annoy me. Most Oscar-centric episodes annoy me because they mostly consist of Oscar either whining or doing something stupid. And even, he's an adult male. He's basically a giant man-child, in my humble opinion. And he's very, strikes me as, like, immature for a man in his 30 or 40 somethings. And here you have this immature bum of a man, basically whining, complaining, etc., etc. So I know, short review for a 30-minute episode, but it's just like, because again, you can write characters like in a niche way, like write this character this way, this character this way, this character this way. But you gotta realize that some characters can be straight up annoying. Oscar being a prime example. That's why I hate when Oscar-centric episodes come up. I think I remember having this issue with another show. Wait, was it another character in Hey Arnold? I hate Oscar-centric episodes. Timberly-centric, which is another Hey Arnold thing, that makes sense because she's a little kid. And you kind of get to see, the big brother, younger sister dynamic. Jamie-o-centric, there are only two of these, I think. And it's basically, the same sort of thing, but on the other foot, whereas Gerald is kind of the younger type. Jamie-o is bullying him. Although you never see Jamie-o kind of picking on Timberly. I find it very interesting that you never see Jamie-o and Timberly existing in sort of the same capacity. What was that show where it was like really character centric, and I was like, what are I can't remember what it was. I'll admit I don't like Oscar-centric episodes to Hey Arnold. Just again because of how Oscar is written as a character. But what was the other show? And I don't think it was Rugrats. I don't think it was Rugrats and Susie centric or Rugrats and Angelica centric. It was another show that I really can't remember what it was, and I'm so angry now. Like, I'm kind of embarrassed because I remember there being one other show. That I was just like, oh, come on. I mean, a lot of the admittedly, like, Doug is very Doug-centric. And Doug's whole shtick is that he's afraid something's gonna happen, but it actually doesn't. Like, he finds that he's in a very good place. But he's established to be the main character. There is a way to write him such that kind of things play in his favor. But then you have other characters, again, like Oscar in Hey Arnold, where not a main character. There is a reason he's not a main character. He's written as a very unlikable character, come to think of it. And you've got just a lot of the times these unlikable characters become very, centered in the episode. Again, depending on who's in the episode, like A Harold-centric episode is always him learning a lesson. A Helga-centric episode is her dealing with some sort of family dynamic. A Phoebe-centric episode is her trying to, you know, you're seeing something more than the smart girl. You're seeing something much more than the smart girl. I haven't looked in anything in Recess, but I know there's a few character-centric episodes there that I think are pretty interesting. And character-centric episodes, as I said, is not bad. It's when the character is so gosh darn unlikable. Like Arthur, for example, and DW-centric episodes. She is such a whiner! Sometimes for entertainment, you gotta scrap realism, but DW is such a whiner. Arthur was one of the shows. I didn't, you know, pay much attention to it. Mainly thanks to a DW-centric episode, come to think about it. But Arthur was one of those shows that I liked as a kid. Again, DW-centric episodes. Don't give your unlikable characters their own character-centric episode. You will make me want to run. You will make me want to turn the gosh darn thing off. I find that in Rugrats, you know, the Susie-centric episodes are generally focus on her being kind of the baby of the family. Chucky-centric is usually him trying to overcome some kind of fear. I hate Angelica-centric episodes of Rugrats, I'll tell you that much, because that's usually, she does something so catastrophically wrong, gets herself super grounded, realizes that what she did was a huge mistake, except in the end of one episode. Pickles versus Pickles. We'll have to talk about that sometime. That's an annoying Angelica-centric episode. I can't really say it's annoying. What's really annoying about it is the ending, because you think that something is going to turn out right, and then it just kind of turns right back on its side. I don't like... I mean, I suppose they can't all be gems as far as endings go, but sometimes you just get a terribly sour ending, and it's... It's not good. It is not good at all. You know what I mean? So, character-centric episodes only work depending on the character. Oh. Angelica-centric. Angelica breaks a leg. I think the only thing that thing has going for it is karma at the end of the episode. What it is to take so long to get there. If you want a real rant, I can talk about Arnold Betrays Iggy as an Arnold-centric episode that is literally looked upon in infamy, and Iggy no longer appears in the show. Now, that being said, all I have to say from here is Saffron says, have a nice week.